A year and a half ago on this program, we talked about the Mars 500 and the role that Czech psychologists are playing in that major endeavor. For a reminder, the aim of the project, among other things, is to test the steel of human nerves by locking six would-be astronauts in a mock spaceship, sending them to a mock Mars, and then bringing them back to the very real Moscow parking lot from whence they started their journey, a journey to nowhere but into the mind. The course of that journey was being monitored by the Czech company QED, which specializes in a psychoanalytical method called sociomapping, used to study and foster interpersonal relations on the so-called ship. The project is now over, at least for the astronauts, who were released on schedule this month. To find out how the project went from the Czech end, at least, I talked to Radovan Bachbouk, the director of QED, who I asked how the method had proven itself.
I think we are at the very beginning of analysis of all things which are connected with communication within team. I think that you know main reason why we have sociomapping there. It is necessary to check if trend of communication is constant or if there are some risks, for example, from point of view of decrease of communication or some channels which are in stuck state. And if we find something problematic, we are able to give this information to control center and to ask them to debrief communication with members of team and to encourage them to find time for communication about communication.
Well, so they were there for a year and a half and you were monitoring them that whole time. So did they have any problems with communication? Did it come to any crisis points?
I think that in comparison with all experiments, this team was the best from point of ability to have good, not only quantity, but quality of communication. Of course, there are some problems. For example, if we have an international team, it is normal that there are some subgroups. National subgroup was subgroup of Russian astronauts, and it is visible in sociomaps that they were more close to each other than to international members. But it's normal. In a team of six people, we haven't the same frequency of communication in all channels. Six people means 15 communication channels, and some of them are very good in terms of flexibility and exchange of information, and some of them aren't.
And are there any specific situations that you can tell us about? I assume much of it is still under lock and key, I guess not open to the public, but are there any situations that you can tell us about that occurred?
Yeah, it's too early because we don't want to open all information about this without going through this information with members of this team and control center. But I think that I can say that communication in this team was relatively stable. We supposed on previous research that at the end of isolation or at the end of this work is a big risk of decrease of communication. The critical point of all previous experiments was at the end before landing, and in this team it wasn't so critical. They were able to communicate in good quality till the end of this experiment.
So there was nothing. So there was nothing that would have jeopardized the mission had it been a real mission to Mars and back.
I think that in this team it wasn't big jeopardy. I think that partly it was caused by the fact that they have time for debrief communication and to think about this, because it improves our ability to be more mindful as for our communication and to be able to catch some long-term trends and to do something with this. So they had opportunity to think about communication with other members and to think about some misunderstandings and real state and ideal state. They had opportunity to think about next steps, how they can improve communication.
Well, lastly, you use socio-mapping in others, many other situations, like in the workplace and elsewhere. What have you learned from this project, and how will it help your use of socio-mapping elsewhere?
Yes, we are able to have, for example, reliability of scales, how stable is communication during so long stay in isolation. We are able to differentiate some phases in team dynamics, because there are studies about team dynamics, and we can check them if we have the same scenarios visible in dynamics of our social work. For us, it is very, very important and very useful type of experiment. And we can correlate our data with some external data, for example, data biomedical or data about performance of this team. I think that it is good to find connections between communication and performance. And it is a very interesting question if there's a relation between these two things, team performance and team communication.
Czech scientists work on the very large and the very small, and some of the latter group have made the interesting discovery of a new pathogen, a new bacterial disease carried by ticks and hitherto unknown. Or rather unknown in humans. Or rather, not being a Czech scientist of the very large or the very small, I'll leave the explaining to Dr. Sonja Pekova of Prague's Chambon Laboratory, which made the discovery.
Basically, we have identified this pathogen. The name of the pathogen is Candidatus neuerlichia micrurensis, and we have identified it for the first time in 2008, and it was in a patient with hemato-oncological disease. But at that point, we just considered it some kind of weird case report, and it was not time to publish anything, so it was just like something, some freak of nature we identified in someone who was severely immunocompromised. But later on, it was in 2010, we have seen another case, and this was a patient, again, with some hemato-oncological disease, and he was after orthotopic liver transplant. So at that point, it was much more interesting for us, and then we decided to publish the paper. But as definitely you know, so if you try to publish something in a peer-reviewed journal, international journal, so it takes time. So it took us like 1 year and a half to get it published. So by the time a couple of other groups in Sweden, Germany, and so on just published something very similar to our work. So we are not the first, but hard to tell who was the first, because the first case in our lab was identified in 2008.
It was already discovered at some point like 5 years ago, I believe, or more, 7 years ago in Japan. What symptoms led to that discovery?
That was a funny story, because it was not discovered in humans. It was discovered on some island by the name of Mikura in Japan, and it was discovered in rats. So it was considered a true zoonosis, meaning a disease which can be identified only in animals. So it was seen only in rats, and no one thought it might be ever seen in humans. So this was why the news was so groundbreaking when we or the other groups in Europe identified this pathogen, previously thought to be able only to infect animals, that we are able to identify it as a causative agent in humans. So this was basically the absolutely new and groundbreaking news.
And it's only been identified in a very, very few individuals, I believe 8 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the chances are that it could actually be in many, many more people?
So it can be excluded. Basically, our laboratory deals with severely immunocompromised individuals, meaning patients undergoing chemotherapy treatment, bone marrow transplant, and basically we are treating patients with severely immunocompromised immune system. And this is like kind of prerequisite for acquisition of this kind of unusual pathogen. So it can be excluded that many more individuals suffer from some kind of ehrlichiosis, because it's not like clinically thought. So the signs, the clinical signs are extremely unspecific. It's like joint pain, spine pain, fevers, sub-fevers, nothing so specific. So basically, we are extremely lucky that we identified this pathogen in our patients, and it was only because of great desperation of the clinical doctors, because they were looking for anything, for viruses, for I don't know how many bacteria and stuff, but only using standard microbiological techniques, and we applied molecular biology techniques on those two cases, and this is why we are able to identify it, because molecular biology doesn't deal with like growth requirements of the pathogens and stuff.
And the body normally takes care of this disease on its own, so that it wouldn't be even particularly noticeable. Is that right?
That's true. And if you are normally immunomodulated, or how to say it, you can acquire this kind of disease, but the disease will be perfectly cleared off by your immune system. Because, for example, just for the fun of it, a couple of times we have investigated ticks brought to our lab by patients or our technicians, and the ticks are heavily infestated, and you can see in them Borrelia, Neoerlikia, even Rickettsia, and so on. And definitely you remember how many times you were bitten by a tick. So if you are normal, healthy individual, you can't be you don't need to be afraid. But if you, I don't know, if you are under chemotherapy or on severe corticosteroid treatment, basically if your immune system is not okay, so this is the case when you might be afraid. So if you are bitten by a tick, you can acquire something like this, because the vector for this disease is definitely a tick.
And you're finding that it is moving from country to country, from Japan to Sweden to Germany. How likely is it that that could go on ad infinitum and eventually make it everywhere?
Well, because we travel, so we can transfer diseases. For example, TB was extremely rare in our country, but since we started traveling, it's not absolutely so. It's not so seldom to see mycobacteriosis and different kind of, I don't know, tropical diseases in this country. So definitely, I believe it's connected with traveling, and it can be excluded. It was endemic in Africa, will be seen in Czech Republic or UK or whatever. So this is basically the world.
That was Dr. Sonja Pekova of Prague's Kambon Laboratory, ending that edition of Science Journal. I hope you'll be back with us next month.